I invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with us. We're going to study this morning about the concept of envy. Most of us understand it's wrong to be envious. Though a lot of people have a vague notion about exactly what constitutes envy. Often we confuse it with the idea of jealousy. And they are related terms, but they're not exactly the same thing. If you look at a dictionary, the meaning of envy is to look with ill will or to look against. Or sometimes it's defined as chagrin or discontent at the excellence or good fortune of another, being resentful or begrudging. If you look at the difference between jealousy and envy, maybe we have a better idea. We are jealous about what we own, the things that we think we possess. Those are the things that oftentimes we say we are jealous of. But envy is when we are envious of what somebody else has or what somebody else has gained. That passage that we had for our Bible reading from Genesis chapter 26, if you look down at verse 14, when Isaac prospered, what caused the people in the area to want to keep basically stealing his wealth, keep wanting to take those things that Isaac possessed? Look at down in verse 14, Genesis 26, verse 14. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. It wasn't so much of what Isaac did against anybody. It was simply a matter because Isaac did well that they end up trying to take what he had. They are envious of him. Jealousy fears to lose what it has. Envy is pained at seeing what others have gained. The difference is sometimes seen in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And we're going to read verse 21. Here God says, they have made me jealous with what is not a god. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Here God, the word here is jealous. These people understood that they belonged to God and God belonged to them, in a sense. And God is saying, hey, these people should be worshiping me. And so they go worship false idols. And God properly says he was jealous of that, because this was something that was exclusively his, and it was being shared with something that was just a piece of stone or a lump of wood. And so he said, I will make them jealous. They think they have an exclusive right on God, and that's wrong in that case. And he says, I'm going to bring in another nation and make them my people as well, to change these people's heart. That was fulfilled, by the way, in Romans 11, verse 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11, when the Gentiles were brought in through Christianity by Jesus Christ. In Romans 11, verse 11, it says, I say then, did they not stumble as to fall today? May it never be, but by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. See, sometimes we have jealousy over things that we think we have exclusive rights to. And the Jews thought they had exclusive rights to God. And so God said, I'll make them jealous, and he did. The whole idea was not to leave it that way, but to get the people to change their attitude. But what we want to look at is the idea of envy. Envy is being wanting or thinking that somebody else's gain ought to have been your own. Wanting or being discontent or not liking the fact that somebody else prospers in some way. Sometimes it's translated as an evil eye. Take a look at Mark chapter 7. depends on your translation. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. There's a list of sins out there that are given. They start from within. Mark 7 and verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, and some of your translations says evil eye, slander, pride, and foolishness. That's what it literally is. It's the way somebody looks at somebody. It's that envious look that somebody gives another one. It's called an evil eye. Problem with envy is that it pains the person who has it. It destroys a person like a knife in the chest. Envy is something that destroys the envier. It's what causes splits in churches. It even causes murders. Cain killed Abel. And when you get down to it, he did it because of envy. Take a look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought the firstling of his flocks, of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. You must master it. And Cain told Abel about his brother, and it came about that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. What was the problem? When you really get down to it, Cain envied what Abel had. And God said there was no need for it. All you had to do was do what was right. All you had to do was do what God had asked of him. But no, Cain envied Abel and killed him. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. And in verse 12, 1 John chapter 3, and down in verse 12, well, actually, we'll start with verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. What a reason to kill somebody. Simply because they accomplished more than you did in the sight of God. But you know, that's also what killed Jesus. It was the Jews' envy of Jesus. Take a look at Matthew 27, verse 18. Matthew chapter 27, and in verse 18, for he knew that because of envy, they had delivered him up. Here's the reason, the motivation behind it all. Simply because Jesus was doing what was right and was pleasing to God, and they couldn't find a flaw in him, they delivered him up to be murdered. Envy destroys our friendships, it destroys our businesses, it destroys our own soul. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and in verse 30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passions or envy is rottenness to the bones. Envy produces strong emotions within a person, and it destroys your health. And in Job chapter 5, and in verse 2, Job chapter 5, and in verse 2, It says, for vexation, or envy, depending on your translation, slays the foolish man, and anger kills the simple. There's a story that the Greeks tell, and it illustrates this concept very well. It says, the citizens of a town erected a statue to one of their number, who was a celebrated champion in the public games. However, one young man, a rival of the honored athlete, was so envious that he vowed he would destroy the statue. Every night he went out in darkness and chiseled at the statue's base. By undermining its foundation, he hoped to make it look that the statue fell on its own accord. And one night it did fall, but it fell on the young man who was chiseling at his base. It fell on top of the man and killed him. And that is often what ends up happening. People out of envy try to undermine what another person has, and they chip away at it, thinking they're going to destroy that person, but they end up destroying themselves in the process. As with many sins, the effect of sin is not noticed immediately, but the sin of envy gradually eats away at the person's soul until it's destroyed. The Bible has a lot of warnings about envy. For instance, in Proverbs 23, and verse 17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. It might seem strange at the first to say, hey, why would you want to envy sinners? But oftentimes we look at the world around us and it's the sinners who prosper. It's the sinners who seem to get away with a lot of things. And we have to be careful that we don't start thinking we ought to have the same thing. We shouldn't think of it as saying that they have something that we deserve. As pointed out in this passage, we have something a whole lot better. We have heaven waiting for us, but not if we start envying the wicked. In Proverbs 24, look at verse 19 and 20. Proverbs 24, starting with verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers, and or be envious of the wicked. For there will be no future for the evil man, and the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Why should we envy somebody who's going to end up dying? Why are we going to envy somebody who's going to end up in hell? We ought to have pity for them, not envy. Surely you have better prospect than envy a man facing God's wrath. Over in Psalm 37, starting with verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And that's something we have to understand. The wicked might prosper, but it's always something temporary. They might gain wealth, but other passages tell us sometimes wealth it just takes off like wings, flies out the window. Those are temporary things. This world is temporary. Our life in this world is temporary. Gains in this life are not things that we ought to want. See, envying the wicked of his prosperity and apparent happiness does not make us happy or make us rich. It doesn't add a single dollar to our assets, but it does bankrupt our souls. Over in Psalm 73, Asaph wrote a particularly good psalm. I like this psalm quite a bit. It says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But for me, my feet came close to stumbling. my steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace, and the garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulges from fatness, and the imagination of their hearts runs riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore his people return to this place, and the waters of abundance are drunk by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there any knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure, and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long, and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight, until I came to the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places, thou dost cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment, they are swept utterly away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt despise their form. We have to understand, they might look like they're in great positions now, but they have no stability. They have no foundation. They will not last in times of trouble. Another thing also we ought to not envy is our friends. Joseph, back in Genesis 37, had a problem with his own brothers. His brothers were envious of him. In Genesis 37 and verse 11, it says, and his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the sayings in mind. Joseph's brothers looked at him and say, you know, he's a favorite of dad. God gives him visions saying that he's going to become great and ruler over all of us. He's a tattletale. And they're envious. Their envy led them to the point where they plotted their own brother's death. They were going to murder him. Except one brother talked him out of it. And eventually what they did was they sold their own brother into slavery. Can you imagine you got brothers and sisters that you're having brothers and sisters are so envious of you that they would actually sell you off as a slave? A lifetime of slavery? God took that, though, and used it for a purpose of good. Eventually, they were forced to recognize Joseph's superior position that God granted him, because Joseph was placed eventually to be second in Egypt. But what we should also take from that is that envy oftentimes acts like a boomerang. It's a weapon that comes back at you. And oftentimes it hurts the attacker more than it does the victim. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there is a list of the definition of love. And it's actually talking about the love between brethren, the love that you and I ought to have for one another. That we oftentimes also use this for the love between husband and wife. And it's a good description, because this describes what love in general is. But in verse 4 it says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, or depending on translation, is not envious. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Part of the thing is oftentimes I get to talk to a lot of people, especially young folks, and they'll talk about how they're in love. I'll start asking them about these points that are here. Well, does it match this? Does it match that? It'd be surprising. Half of these don't match. Whatever person they have in mind, it doesn't match. And I'd say, how can you possibly be in love? If you're married to somebody, would it be prosperous, good for the relationship, to be envious of the fact that they're doing well? Not looking at it saying, this is a united front. This is not, you're supposed to be partners. If my partner's doing well, then that means I'm doing well, isn't it? Should be that way. Love can't envy. If we have love for one another, if one of us does well, we cannot envy that prosperity. If one of us is doing particularly well at doing what God wants, is it good for the congregation to envy that person? No, it would end up destroying it. An envious man feels others' fortunes as his misfortune. That's what you see. Somebody else does something really well, and you think, well, I should have had that. And you feel miserable because somebody else did well. And that's not what's taught. In Romans chapter 12, and in verse 15, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Somebody I love does well. That should be a cause of joy for me. Not to say, well, now my life's miserable because he did well. It's our love for our fellow man that is secure for the disease of envy. Take a look at Matthew 20. Jesus told a parable that has envy as its core to teach us a lesson. Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven, and that's the church, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said, and to those he said, you too go to the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. And they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the heat of the day. And he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But if I wish to give this last man the same as you, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last. Therein lies the problem. They expected to receive more. Because they were told they're going to receive more? No. Because they saw somebody else get pay that was equal to theirs. They got something nice. I did more work. I deserve nicer. And that's envy. We need to recognize the danger of envy. How do we behave when friends get better grades, get a better promotion, or recipient of a good fortune? Do we somehow feel that it's a blow to us? Or do we rejoice because they did well? Let's recognize the danger of envy and then remove it from our lives. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Because where envy exists, what you'll find is all sorts of sins. Envy does not promote harmony, it promotes sinfulness. One last verse in James chapter 3, verse 16. James chapter 3, verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. We need to work hard and not being envious of other people, especially our own brethren, especially of our own family. We need to rejoice that people do well. And if they happen to get special favors or some fortune comes their way, find it as a cause of joy, not as a cause of envy. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than the opportunity we have right now to put on Christ. And if there is anyone here who is a child of God, what I prepare as a brethren on the behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing a song of selection.